translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." So let us listen to this wonderful purport very attentively. At the end of the ninth canto, 24th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke of how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden of the earth, how he had manifested his pastimes as a householder, and how soon after his birth he had transferred himself to his Vrajabhumi Leela. Parikshit Maharaj, being naturally a devotee of Krishna, wanted to hear more about Lord Krishna. Therefore, to encourage Sukadeva Goswami to continue speaking about Krishna and give further details, he thanks Sukadeva Goswami for having described the activities of Krishna in brief. Sukadeva Goswami had said, "Jato gata pitrikrihad vrajam edittato hata rupum sutasatani kriturudhara upadyateshu purusaha kratubhi samiji atmanam atmanigunam atmanigamam prataya janesu." Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, known as Lila Purusottama, appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationships with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterward he returned to Dwarka, where, according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of household life. This is from the Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 24, text 66. The Yadu dynasty belonged to the family descending from Soma, the moon god. Although the planetary systems are so arranged that the sun comes first before the moon, Parikshit Maharaj gave more respect to the dynasty of the moon god, the Somavamsa, because in the Yadava dynasty descending from the moon, Krishna had appeared. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the king of the moon planet and the other descending from the king of the sun. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he generally appears in the Kshatriya family because he comes to establish religious principles and the life of righteousness. According to the Vedic system, the Kshatriya family is the protector of the human race. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the Surya Vamsa, the family descending from the sun god. And when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the Yadu dynasty, or the Yadu Vamsa, whose descent was from the moon god. In the ninth canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a long list of the kings of the Yadu Vamsa. All the kings in both the Soma Vamsa and Surya Vamsa were great and powerful, and Maharaj Parikshit praised them very highly. Rajam Chobaya Vamsyanam Charitam Paramabhutam. Nonetheless, he wanted to hear more about the Soma Vamsa because that was the dynasty in which Krishna had appeared. The supreme abode of the Personality of God in Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita as the abode of Chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadmasu karpavriksha lakshavritesu surabi abhibalayantam. Reverend Ivan Dam on this earth is a replica of the same abode, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:20. In the spiritual sky, there is an order, eternal nature, transcendental to manifested and unmanifested matter. The manifested world can be seen in the form of many stars and planets, such as the sun and moon. But beyond this is the unmanifested, which is imperceptible to those who are embodied. And beyond this unmanifested matter is the spiritual kingdom, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as supreme and eternal. That kingdom is never annihilated, although material nature is subject to repeated creation and annihilation. That spiritual nature remains as it is eternally. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the spiritual nature, the spiritual world, is described as Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, or Vrajadham. The elaborate description of the above-mentioned sloka from the 9th canto, Jatugatha Pitrigrihad, will be found here in the 10th canto. Om Agyanatmirandasya Yunajanam Salakaya Sakshodamilitam Jainatismai Siya Gurubhaya Namaha Sucetanyam Anomvistam Stavfetam Jainabhutavi Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandisi Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita Godadhai Puspavanto Chita Chandatamanda Vanchakalpatarevyacha Kripasunubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanimbhya Vashnavya Namonam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadarara Si Vasari Si Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the whole of this chapter is giving us an insight about the advent of Lord Krishna. Of course, the 10th canto is basically about Krishna and his leelas. So the Lord appears whenever there is some discrepancy in the principles of religion, and when there is a predominance of the rise of unscrupulous elements who are masquerading as leaders of society. So, in this text, you find that the commentators made a nice point here about the position of Maharaj Parikshit. Instead of giving due deference to the sun god, he was very much concerned. He was rather very much concerned with the moon or with the Soma Vamsa. Why? Because that is a dynasty, or that is the lineage that, you know, Krishna appeared on this earth. And so basically, for Maharaj Parikshit and for any other serious devotee, they're not very much interested in the glaring manifestations of the different facets of the illusory energy. But if even is a manifestation of the illusory energy, and if it has something to do with Krishna, then that becomes the basic concern of the pure devotee. So this is more or less like the principle of Sambandhya, because basically the connection of any element with Krishna, that is what induces the devotee to really become attached to that and become very much enthused to discuss about that. So Maharaj Parikshit, he was giving due deference to this Soma Vamsa, because that is that is the lineage that Krishna appeared. And so he had requested Sukadeva Goswami to discuss more about Krishna and his wonderful leelas. Krishna is called Leela Purusottama. When he appeared, he enacted different type of pastimes, and we call them leelas. For those who do not understand, they may judge Krishna that, oh, you, this is your god, you're just playing in the dead of night with unmarried girls. But that is a leela. And who are even the so-called unmarried girls? They are his devotees who descended from Goloka Vrindavan to be able to be with him. I mean, it's like you have the president of a country is going to somewhere, and they're normally just an entourage. Sometimes the members of the entourage have to go before the president. Then they meet there, but then the point is they have to be together to be able to execute what the president is going for. So even Lord Krishna's advent, this is something that is very dominant in the advent of Lord Krishna, that even the gopis remember when when it was announced to when Lord Brahma went to the shore of the milk ocean to petition the Lord based on the proposition or the plea of Madhubhumi, when the Lord actually gave the message, he mentioned that he was going to appear, that, you know, Krishna will be coming, and that people from his own abode will also be coming. In fact, he ordered demigods to even take bed in the same Yadu dynasty. So the Yadu dynasty is very important to Maharaj Pariksit. Just like it is important to every other perfected soul, because it has to do with Krishna. One other point that is mentioned in the purport is how Pariksit exhibited some appreciative thinking. He had actually praised the kings. The kings of the Surya Vamsa, and of course also the Suma Vamsa. So this is symptomatic of a perfected soul. They are very much appreciative of what people have done. The conditioned soul is very critical. They don't look at the good of what people have done. They look at, they find, even on a white cloth, if you examine a white cloth with buy a white cloth from the factory, if you examine it critically, meticulously, with a microscope, you will find some dots, some dirt on it. It's just from fresh from the factory, you'll find dirt in it. A devotee doesn't waste his time to examine the white cloth to figure out the dirt. He looks at the white cloth. How wonderful. The guys who made this, they've done a lot of job. This is the mindset of Maharaj Pariksit. He was praising the kings. So, this also is reflected in the life of Paramahamsas. They are always looking for the good, and they see the good in everyone. But we conditioned souls, I mean, just like we have, you know, scholars. I remember one time when I was preaching in Africa, so we went for an academic conference. And this one of these young professors who organized the conference, he came to call us, the young scholars. And he said, hey guys, come over here. Go to that hall. This professor is presenting his paper there. Go and find fault with him. Go and find fault. He thinks he knows too much. Go find fault with him. This is how we are groomed in the academy. Find fault. Devotional culture is different. We find the good. We find the good in the person. And therefore, even this Bhagavatam, you find that it may have some apparent fault, but that could be just some you know, typically a situation where one is blinded by the illusory energy, so he could, even in Bhagavatam, you can find fault in Bhagavatam. If you're really blinded by illusory energy, why not? If you're blinded by illusory energy, you can also find fault in the whole of the Vedic literature. Why not? But the concern of the devotee is like a swine. A swine. He goes and picks the best out of even the worst situation. So, the stories of the Bhagavatam are there. The purpose of Prabhupada are there. The purpose of his followers are there. But what is important to us is the implications of this purpose, the implications of this verse to our everyday reality. Otherwise, they become stories. Yes, the stories are very purifying. Why not? But how does it apply to us? Appreciative thinking. We should be appreciative thinkers. Like Maharaj Parikshit, who was appreciating the wonderful activities of the kings. A devotee is never jaded of hearing the Lord's pastime. He never gets bored. Hey, it's too much. When is he going to stop? Sometimes, you know, you find that we are more anxious for the discussions about Krishna, you know, to come to an end than being eager to listen more. So we find example of Maharaj Parikshit. He wants to hear more. He said, come on, keep talking. I'm not tired. I'm not jaded. This is a sign of an elevated consciousness. And so it is important for us to imbibe this type of, to consciously learn and practice to imbibe this type of consciousness. Because the symptom of someone who is becoming purified is that he wants to listen to the lilas of Krishna all the time. He has no time to listen to disco music. He has no time to watch some, you know, some mundane movie for excitement. He wants, he is absorbed. This is the mood of Maharaj Parikshit. So if we are trying to be devotees, we should be adopting this type of moods. In the beginning, it may look boring, but with practice, we get acclimatized to that with the ensuing purification. People are interested in stories. If someone is gossiping, everybody or people around, they want to hear more. What happened? Yeah, what did he say? Or what did she say? Or what did she do? What did they do? We're interested in gossip. But when it comes to Krishna Katha, when is he going to stop? The gossip, continue. Krishna Katha, when is he going to stop? So Parikshit is completely the opposite. Parikshit, he is, for Krishna Katha, please, Sukadeva Goswami, continue. I want to hear more. So this is the wonderful legacy that Prabhupada has left for us. We should try to read these books and understand better how we should be relating to the lilas of the personality of Godhead. How we should, in fact, Krishna appeared, and one of his basic first lila was to kill a demon, to kill a woman. What does that imply to us? I mean, women are bad. Let me say, someone may interpret, oh, because women are very bad, and so that's why Krishna killed a woman first. But that's not true. All of the demons that Krishna killed, they depict a specific type of vices in our own personal lives. And so by reading these pastimes, Krishna killing the demons, we eradicate particular type of sinful desires in our consciousness. And so it's a matter of really understanding. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives an elaborate explanation about all of the different leelas of Krishna in event of killing the demons. So we do have some demoniac tendencies. We do have some demoniac tendencies. We do have. So we pray to Krishna to kill the demoniac tendencies in us. If we deny that we don't have demoniac tendencies, then we're not being honest. Because we do have the tendency to control. We do have the tendency to enjoy. Ishwaroham, Ahambogi, Siroham, Balawansuki. These are demonic tendencies. I am the controller. I am perfect. Hey, I am correct. What are you talking about? You're just a new devotee. What are you talking about? What do you know? I know it all. This is a phenomenological mindset. It looks like a very nice word, but it means demoniac mindset. So, important event for us is to study Srila Prabhupada's books very meticulously. Rupa Goswami mentioned, scrutinizingly. Why? For the purpose of purifying our heart. And so, for the purpose of gaining insight into the depths of the philosophical concepts and constructs of Krishna consciousness. And so what? So that we can we'll be able to develop the ability to apply those concepts and constructs in our own life to create a transformation. The world is in our hands. We just have to know how to transform the world. Oh yeah, because all of the solutions to the world problems, social, political, economic, they are all there in the Vedic literature. And so especially for young people, you know, the future of this society is in your hands. We are getting old. Very soon we'll get kicked out from these bodies. And therefore, it behooves all of you young people to be very diligent and scrutinizingly study these books. I remember when I joined, my spiritual master constantly mentioned to us, read these books, read Prabhupada's books. That was his major emphasis. Why? We need knowledge, we need purification, and we need to create a positive change. And the change we want to create has to begin with us. If you and myself, if we are not living our lives towards creating a viable future, if we are not living our lives as if we are being watched, then we might eventually forget that Krishna is there in our hearts. The same Krishna who had appeared in the prison is also there in our hearts as Paramatma. And therefore, it is important. I mean, when we come together, we should remind ourselves about our mission. Because it's very easy if you're in a college. It's very easy to forget the purpose of your being on campus. Very easy, because there are so many attractive features. And in most cases, it's free sense enjoyment. So the unintelligent student may easily forget why he or she is on campus. So also sometimes we come to the temple, we are very enthusiastic in the beginning. After some few years, you know, who feel comfortable. And that is when Maya starts creeping in. And so, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lila Purusottama, Lord Krishna himself, he advanced himself to be able to create awareness of the need to walk towards emancipation from the illusory entanglement. That is his main purpose of coming. To create all of these lilas so that we can discuss about them and purify ourselves. To protect the sadhus. So, Krishna is always there to protect the sadhus. The question is, how are we becoming sadhus? We should become sadhus. How to become sadhu? How? Yes? Want to say something? How to become sadhus? Yes? Associate with sadhus. Papa gives the example. If you put an iron nail into fire, gradually the nail will acquire the qualities of fire. So, we have been given everything. Sometimes people are working in an office, they complain, we don't have the resources. Prabhupada has given us all of the resources. He's given us everything. We don't have excuses. Read the books. If you don't read the books, one day you will be cheated. Read the books. If you don't read the books, one day you will be cheated. Any comments or questions? Yes.
How does one become expert at relishing and engaging in Krishna?
Again, in our conditioned state, it is very difficult to relish Krishna Katha. The Bhagavatam explains that Nivritatisham, Upajiyamanam, Bhavaksoda, Sotra, Manobirama. So, this medicine, Krishna Katha is a medicine. It's a healing herb. It's a medication. And no negative side effects. Yet, we need to be able to take it with courage. And that courage comes when we have strong sangha, when we have strong association. Otherwise, we may read it today and we say, oh, this is so juicy. This pastime is so juicy. And then tomorrow we don't want to read it. We don't want to deal with it. So we should have strong sangha constantly. At least each and every one of us, we should have someone that can help to motivate us. Because we do have periods when we're feeling low in our energies. We're feeling depleted. So here is what you do. The chanting has to be done during the Brahma Muhurta hours. First class. Brahma Muhurta hours, that's the best period. Not just for spiritual purposes. Some psychologists have developed some researches and reported that the best period of productivity is the early morning hours of the day. All the things the Prabhupada had instructed us, they have scientific values. So, but how are you going to take advantage of that time for developing the ruchi in Krishna Katha? You have to sleep early. If you sleep at 2 o'clock, watch movies until 2 o'clock before you sleep, you don't go to... you're not going to be able to wake up to use that Brahma Muhurta hours. You want ruchi? Ruchi by practice. For us, it's by practice. Hearing, chanting, the nine precepts of devotional service. In fact, those of you living in the temple, you are the most lucky people on this planet. You're the most lucky people on this planet. Because, you see, what you have, you may not know, but I tell you, it's like a cow. In Africa, there's an adage that a cow does not know the use of its tail until it is cut off. Then he realizes how the tail is so useful in wagging off flies, especially tsetse flies. So, I can give you an example. If even you're very opulent, you're a very rich man, you are living at home, you don't have obligation. You're just an independent person. Nobody's going to tell you to come to Mangarati. Nobody's going to tell you to wake up and chant during the Brahma Muhurta hours. And so let me just give you a gross example. It's a confidential thing, but let me give you a gross example. Just yesterday, I got a mail from someone in one country. I just visited that country 3 months ago. Then that couple invited me to their home. And then a wife sent me a message saying that she's having suicidal thoughts. The guy is very rich. Very super rich. So she's living in opulence. You know what? Another thing she said. She said the husband does not wake up to chant. So if you have plenty of money in your home, no one is going to check you. You are the Ishwara. But to be an Ishwara, you have to learn to control yourself. So it's very difficult to do or function by yourself. So in a community like this, there's always spiritual reinforcement. So you get energized. So take advantage of what you have. So have some strong sangha. Just by coming, by attending the programs every day, you get that spiritual reinforcement and you could really become more and more enthused. The preaching is another thing. If you're a preacher, you find that you will always be enthused. If you're going out for sangha, you find that you will always be enthused because Krishna will give you some realization that you come back and you realize, wow, how did I answer that question? I never read it somewhere before, but it just came. Preaching purifies. And if you are in love with someone, you have to figure out what is to be done to please this person the most. Krishna has revealed the secret of what is to be done to please him the most. He didn't just come only to kill demons. He came to reveal some secrets also. He said in the Gita, there is no one more dear to him than the person who is sharing this knowledge with others. So that's why I said, you have all the resources. No excuses. So first point, strong sangha. And you have living in a temple, it's already there. You have to have someone that you have seriously interconnected with. Because sometimes people are living in a temple, even brahmacharis, they feel lonely because they don't have connectivity with a dependent friend. One boy in the US, I met him I went to one place. He was living in the ashram. It was a brahmachari ashram. So later he left. And so I was discussing with him. He left the ashram. He didn't go to college before he joined the ashram. So he left the ashram and he was working in a factory. I asked him, what is your age? He said, 24 or 25 or 24. I said, but you're still very young. Why you have to use your life now to be working in a factory? You're already out of the temple. Go to school. Then he complained, oh, school, I will become a debtor. I said, come on, everybody's a debtor in the United States. Who goes? Anyone who had gone to school is a debtor. What's the excuse? But the point is, why did he leave? He told me, he was feeling lonely in the ashram. He had no confidential friend. So create some good relationship. Create brahmacharis, you hear this. Create some good relationships. Even the brahmacharinis, you hear it. Create some good relationship. At least have someone in your life that you'll be able to share your challenges and your joys. That's what Rupa Goswami prescribed in the Upadesamrita. I think text 4. Any other comments or questions? I think about a minute and a half more. Is it? All right. In the absence of any other questions, we like to move for the adjournment of this meeting. Srila Prabhupada ki.